I honestly feel like the Lord has given me a mandate to bring quite a few different words here lately for the church. Can I talk to you about the church a little bit this morning? Because the stuff that we're going to talk about is important. It's important. The day and age that we're living in, it's important. And I feel like the enemy has really been trying to infiltrate the church, our communities, our schools. He's launched this all-out assault on the church. And if he can infiltrate the church, then we can't be effective as the church. Everybody following me? Do we have meat eaters in this place? See, I believe the word of God. I'm going to share a story with you real quick. So growing up, all my life, I was raised in the church. Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost. Grandma prayed in the Holy Ghost for hours every day. Right? All my life, I thought that I knew who Jesus was. I really believed that. I really believed that I knew who he was. I could quote scripture. I knew verses. I thought that my family had the keys to the kingdom. Right? I really believed this stuff until I went to Teen Challenge and I truly met Jesus, where he radically changed my life, and I began to learn that there were things that I had learned throughout the course of my life that weren't necessarily true. And so I, like, the teen challenge that I went through, we didn't go to just the Assembly of God Church, right? Even though that's our covering, and we honor it and we respect it, we were also exposed to Baptists. We were exposed to Methodists. We were exposed to just about everything. You would say, why would you do that? We still do that, right? Because I want our guys to say, man, why do they forbid speaking in tongues? Man, we can explain that to them. They can search the scripture. I began to search the scripture, right? And I said, Jesus, you teach me. Your Holy Spirit, allow your Holy Spirit to teach me. Now, that doesn't mean that I did it all on my own. I had people around me to help me, to help guide me. But I learned how to chew up the meat and spit out the bones. And I'm going to tell you something, man. I am in love with this word. I live by this word. I am a student of this word. I practice this word the best that I can, but I understand this word. I truly understand this word. And I see across America doctrines of man. That aren't of God. It doesn't line up with scripture. And I believe, I'm telling you, I believe that we have got to raise our children up in the ways of the Lord, but teach them the word of God and teach them truth, not man's doctrine. If the world exploded today and all we had was this, what would the church look like? Would it look like some of the churches that we see? No, it wouldn't. I'm sorry. If we took just this and built the church today, what would it look like? We were talking about the power of the blood of Jesus. Ooh, man, I got about, look, this is called a mixed bag of sermons. Is that okay? We're talking about the blood of Jesus and how power, like, I don't hear the blood of Jesus anymore preached. When I was growing up, I heard about the blood of Jesus time and time again. Today, we have Bibles that have removed the blood of Jesus. We actually have Bibles that have removed the blood of Jesus. We have doctrines that have removed the blood of Jesus. I don't want to talk about the blood of Jesus. That's hocus pocus. We can't talk about that. I'm sorry, but there's power in the blood of Jesus, man. We need to understand what the blood of Jesus entails, how holy and pure his blood is, and how his blood washes and cleanses from the beginning of time all the way to the end until he comes back again. Every day you're washed and purged and cleansed. That's powerful blood. Talked about how Mary had to be the spotless virgin, right? She was pure. She was a virgin, and how Jesus had to be born of the virgin. Like I said before, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a scientist, but I've heard and I've read and I've studied that the, and someone could correct me if I'm wrong, but that the blood of a child is determined by the father. Oh my God, that's holy blood. And we got doctrines that are teaching that the blood's insufficient. Are you kidding me? Ooh, no way. Not the blood of Jesus. Not the blood that was shed for you and me. That's holy blood. That's holy cleansing blood. That's redemptive blood that saved us. It doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't give you a right to just continue on sinning. But that blood cleanses you and purifies you. Purifies your conscience. I got scripture for all this, man. That blood cleanses and purges you on a daily basis, and that's why we have to keep short accounts with God. So that we're continually washed and cleansed in that blood. Don't tell me that the blood of Jesus is insufficient. You crazy. You crazy. There's no way. That's a lie. You know what? That's what the enemy wants us to believe. He wants you to believe that that blood's insufficient. What's the whole point of this? If it's not, what's the whole point of this? What's the whole point of him being born of a virgin? What's the whole point of him going and putting himself on a cross for you and me if the blood wasn't worthy? The enemy is a liar. Let me tell you. He went in, and I think I've said this before here, he went into a perfect environment where Adam and Eve were. It was perfect. They walked with God. Perfect. Two perfect human beings. And he came in and turned their world upside down. If he could go into a perfect environment and flip it on its head, don't tell me he can't infiltrate the church. If you don't have this in your heart and in your mind and in your spirit, yeah, he could duke you, man. He's slick. He's very sly. He's very cunning. The Bible, look, he's a serpent, the craftiest of all. Why are you up there hollering? Because this stuff's important to me. This stuff's important to the church. This stuff's important for our children. Because guess what? they're going to be the ones on the front lines. And they are only going to survive by what we have taught them. So if they're going into battle with a false doctrine or a false teaching, how long are they truly going to last against such an adversary as the enemy? Teach truth, man. Yeah, I'm passionate about the Word of God. I'm passionate about the Word of God. You see, everything that I'm talking about, you shouldn't just take my word for it. You should go home and look for yourself. Is what Pastor Jeremy's teaching me, is it the truth? Or is it a lie? Thank you. You should be examining the scripture, right? You have pastors to teach you, guide you, and lead you. But you have to pick up the sword. It's not so that we stay on milk, but it's so that we learn how to eat meat. So that we become so infused with the Word of God that we become the sword that He wields. Now, there's something else that I just want to talk to you about. I want to hit on it briefly. In Exodus chapter 3, Jesus. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 real quick. We love you, Jesus. Pray that your word would touch our lives, touch our hearts today. We need you. Chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. You with me? For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. The Lord has warned us through His scripture that these days are coming. These days are here. Feed me something sweet, Pastor, that's going to please me. Feed me something that's going to make me feel good about me. That's the doctrines that's going around. Make me feel good about myself. I don't want to hear the truth. Don't tell me the truth. Tell me something that's going to tickle my ears. Tell me a fable. Tell me a tale. Something that I'm okay with. That's the stuff that we have going around in the American church today, and it's a lie. It's a lie. The sad part is, I see this in churches all the time, man. You get people that want you to speak sweet things to them, make them feel good about themselves, when it doesn't line up with the pastor or his vision for the church, much less the Word of God, and then they want people to get on board with that stuff. Oh, guess what Pastor said? Come get on my team. I want to show you something. Jump over to Exodus chapter 3. I tell you what, though, for time's sake, in Exodus chapter 3, there's this bush that's burning. Anyone heard of it? Y'all still with me? This bush is on fire. It's burning, but it's not being consumed. Later on, we see Aaron and Ur and Joshua, and they're fighting the Amalekites. But here in chapter 3, who is it that the Lord spoke to through the bush? You sure? Does it say that the Lord spoke to Aaron through the burning bush? Does it say that he spoke to Joshua through the burning bush? Who does it say that he spoke to? He spoke to Moses. He spoke to the man of God. He spoke to the man of God. Oh, man. Listen to me. There is one man of God in the house that has one vision. Oh, but the Lord told me. No, the Lord told Pastor Lance. Oh, but the Lord told me, though. Oh, y'all shouldn't do it that way. No, the Lord told Pastor Lance. Get in line with the vision. We have too many times people running their own, we like to call it running their own program. Trying to run their own. Look, if you want a vision from the Lord, get in line with the vision of this church. And then the Lord might give you a vision when we grow up spiritually a little bit. And the Lord entrusts a ministry to us. Here's another thing. How many people do we have that run ministries? Anybody here lead a ministry? Man, if you pay attention, I'll teach you something. In ministries, in the church, the Lord gives freedom for that ministry leader to have vision. But that vision is always going to line up with the pastor's vision. It's never, ever going to be outside of the vision that Pastor Lance has. Not going to happen. Never happen. And if it's a lie, it'll never happen. That's not God. That's not the church. We serve a God of structure and order. If you think I'm lying, just open your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. There's order. There's an order in the way that God does things. What did the enemy try to do in the garden? He tried to move Adam out of his position and elevate the woman over the man. That's out of order. It's out of order, and we're still paying for it today. It's the truth. God don't play with stuff that's out of order. You know why? Because it's sin. It's sin. It's witchcraft, man. We serve a God that has structure, that has order. And I believe that the American church has been infiltrated by the enemy because we're out of order, man. Maybe not this church. I don't know. Maybe it's the church down the street. But I speak in quite a few churches, and I'm telling you, I see churches that are out of order. I watch, I don't know how many sermons, man, throughout the week. I see churches on YouTube. They're out of order. They're out of order, and they're calling it God. That's not God. I see doctrines of demons. They call it God. It's not God, man. If it doesn't line up with this, it's not God. I don't care. I don't care how many bows you put on it, how pretty you make it, how great it sounds, how appeasing it. Bro, if it doesn't come from here, if it's not in line with this, it's not God. It's not God. And I'm telling you, as the church, we better get in line, man. Or we can, how are we going to fight the enemy when we can't be obedient to the pastor? Oh, here's one. Jump over to Numbers chapter 12. I'm about to mess everybody up. You ready? Am I okay, pastor? Or are you ready to kick me out? All right. Numbers chapter 12. This is one of my favorites. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I got to get me some new glasses, yeah. I can't see no more. They told me I need bifocals, and I'm hard-headed, right? Like, I told my eye doc, you ain't put me in no bifocal. She was like, next time you are. I was like, now I'm like, oh, Lord, I need a bifocal. I need something I can't see. Blind in one eye, can't see out the other. All right, y'all ready? Numbers chapter 12. My mouth gets dry. My wife would say you talk too much. Yeah. All right. Miriam and Aaron. Everybody know who that is? Everybody know who Miriam and Aaron is? All right. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman who he had married. For he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Everybody say, the Lord heard it. There ain't nothing that you could hide from the Lord, right? The Lord heard it. Let's see what happens next. Can you say mo better? It gets mo better. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tent of meeting. And the three of them came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of a cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forward. And he said, he being God, hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make it known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth or face to face. Clearly and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. He sees him. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Man. I see this stuff in the church too. Does the Lord just speak to Pastor Lance? Don't he speak to me too? Does he just talk to... Nah, man, God talks to me too. God gave me a vision. Ooh. God told me I could. No, man. No. It's not how it works. And it's clear right here. The Lord was angry because they spoke against Moses. This was people of his house. This was people that were close to him. Don't you know, man, sometimes it's the people that are closest to us that can hurt us the most. Does the Lord, not, man, and I've had this happen to me in ministry. Does the Lord only speak to Pastor Jeremy? Don't he speak to me too? And then, like I said before, we want people to get on board with that stuff. Get on our team. Guess who had to save Miriam and Aaron? Moses. Moses. If Moses wouldn't have spoke on their behalf, the Lord would have struck them down, man. Leprosy. Go back. There can only be one vision in the house. I don't care how many deacon boards you have. I don't care how many governing boards you have. One vision. God spoke to one person. And when we get in line with that vision and start living that purpose and helping fulfill that vision instead of becoming a hindrance to it, we could do incredible things for the kingdom of God, man. We could really do incredible. Why? Because God honors obedience. God honors submission. Ooh, that's an ugly word, Pastor. Right? We don't like the word submission. Man, submitting is a beautiful thing. When you truly understand the heart of God, man, I love submitting to my authority. I love it. I love submitting to my authority. I go out my way. Because I was such a hindrance to police officers back in my day. I go out my way to buy them a cup of coffee. To show them, man, that I submit to them. I submit to all authority in my life. Why? Because it's good for me. Anything outside of that brings me problems. Wonder why we got problems in our life. Stop resisting the authority that God's placed in your life. Stop resisting the authority that God's placed in your life. And again, you might do incredible things for the kingdom. Want the blessings of God on this church? Get in line with the vision. See where you could help accomplish the vision. And when you're obedient in the small things of God, God will open up doors for you, man, that'll blow your socks off. Let me tell you something. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. I'm an old Cajun boy. But I was obedient to the authority in my life, man. I was obedient. And God, not man, God lifted me up and put me exactly where I wanted to be in my life. God did that. And I'm telling you, it came through an obedient heart, an obedient mindset, and to follow the vision of my leader until it was accomplished. Like, I don't care if someone pats me on the back, but I take incredible joy when I see my pastor get patted on the back. Or the authority in my life, man. That's what brings me joy. See, that's a true heart of submission, man. That's what we have to get. Y'all with me? Ain't nobody mad at me because I'm up here preaching. This is truth. This is truth. And we have to live by that. And guess what? The word of God is offensive. And so guess what? Like, I feel like we're family. And sometimes we have to get offended, but, like, we don't have to get, like, super offended. If the word of God isn't offending you, then something's not right. You should be offended, unless we all perfect. We all perfect? No, we ain't perfect. This should be cutting away things off of our life that don't belong there. It should be a little offensive. So I'm just going to kind of let it rest right there. I get excited sometimes. I get passionate about the Word of God, man. And when I see across this nation and across this world how the enemy is duking people into false doctrines, false beliefs, like operating out of obedience, like that. I have, but because I know how authority works, I know how the blessings of God work. Blessings come down through obedience. And if you're out of line, how can the blessings reach your life? Even though that shouldn't be our focus, right? The blessings is just something that comes with, like, that's not the focus. Jesus is the focus. The church is the focus. And I believe this, man. Like, if God's put this kind of stuff on my heart, I know that he's putting it on other people's hearts. And honestly, I hope messages like this begin to sweep across the United States and makes the church strong, so that we're impregnable against the attacks and tactics of the enemy. I believe that we need that, man. We need truth. Truth. Truth in each and every one of our lives, man. Like I said, I thought that I knew him, and I didn't know him. This is one question that I always, because, Pastor, this is the truth. I was 34 years old when I truly met Jesus. I was raised in the church, and so I always ask this question, or make this statement, how incredibly, like, what a disaster it would be to have sat in church your whole life and never know him. Because whenever I start thinking about the road being narrow and few are getting in, we got to get real about this, man. You want to know God? You truly want to know God? Begin to open this up and spend time with him. I'm not talking about just reading the Bible. I'm talking about spending time with him. You truly want to get to know him, right? So sometimes I tell the guys that, like, when you meet a girl, like, if you want to get to know her, what do? You have to talk to her. You have to find out the things that she likes, right? Like, you have to get invested. You have to get invested. Do you know what he likes? Do you know what he hates? Man, you start seeking God with that type of mindset, and God will blow your socks off your feet. I promise you. We good?